CX Ahead, presented by the Austin Business Journal, exploring the future of Austin and the challenges we face. Brought to you by Google Fiber Business. Keep your customers and employees connected. By Unlock MLS. Find your next home at unlockmls.com. And by Cascadia Capital, the investment bank of choice for business leaders.
Howdy, everybody. Colin Pope, editor of the Austin Business Journal here. We're going to talk about the emergence of what may be becoming a disturbing trend for Austin in this podcast. Has this city lost its luster? That's a big question. A lot of numbers and economic and population statistics to share, so buckle up. But first, I wouldn't mind clearing something up. So this past weekend, I was at a wedding, and a longtime reader came up to me, and he mentioned to me, it seems to me that the ABJ, it's getting a little harder with the news nowadays. There's a lot of times that our articles are not so flattering to the city, even though we're in the business of supporting the economy. And he said, you know, what's changed? Have y'all changed? And I said, no, we haven't changed, but the economy has changed. We've never really supported this economy like the chamber does. The chamber are the cheerleaders. A journalist's job is to tell it like it is, the good, the bad, and the ugly. After all, business leaders need an unvarnished, realistic view to make the best decisions for their employees and their customers. But this longtime reader asked why we've taken on so much hard, perhaps hard to swallow news lately. Well, that's because there is more hard to swallow news out there. I've been reporting in this town for 30 years next year, and to be sure, this city has always had issues. But yeah, we have more nowadays. More money, more people, more problems. And we're sharing that over at the ABJ. And it's not all doom and gloom, of course. Many will still say we have a beautiful, relatively healthy, and enviable city. I don't want to move anywhere else. But yeah, people are noticing that the ABJ is writing fewer articles on how Austin is number one, and we're writing more articles about the pain that comes with the gain that we've experienced in these recent years, and even decades. So the article that prompted that reader to ask, what's up with all the sobering news lately, he had this headline in mind, and the headline read, Austin doesn't appear to be the magnet it once was, but the suburbs are booming. And the article went a little something like this. About 8 out of every 10 people added to the Austin metro during a recent 12-month period, they settled outside of Travis County. And as we all know, Travis County roughly mirrors the Austin city limits. So Travis County added an estimated 7,400 new residents in the second half of 2022 and the first half of 2023. So these numbers, the statistics from the census, they're running from June to June. And that kind of growth, 7,400 new residents, that's really not far off from what Oklahoma City can expect for annual population growth these days. Now, that might be a sobering comparison for a lot of Austinites and especially Texas Longhorn fans, but you know, doing a deeper dig into the latest U.S. Census data, it reveals what may be a more disturbing fact. So more people are moving away from Travis County than to it. So if it wasn't for babies, Travis County would be shrinking. Now, Travis was the only county in the metro to have negative net migration. Hayes, Caldwell, Williamson, you name it around here in the area, they are all attracting newcomers pretty much by the boatloads. But in Travis County, about 2,400 more people moved out of Travis County in that year that was studied than moved into it. And that's a, you know, like I said, a figure that's offset by a natural increase of new babies. And so we had about 10,000 new babies. So that really helps our population growth in Travis County and in Austin proper look a little, you know, pretty healthy. But the fact of the matter is, not a lot of people are moving to Austin, Texas, the Austin city limits. And now some will blame the city's inability to bring its zoning standards to a big city level. Affordable housing options are scarce. Many are looking to the suburbs for a lower cost of living. But, you know, on the upside, there are recent gains that have been made for developers who want to make room for additional people. But the fact of the matter is, when most people move to Austin, that usually means they're moving to a suburb of Austin. And so in Williamson County, for example, almost 82% of the population gain was the result of positive net migration. The suburbs, I mean, that's really just where the action is. When they're taken into account, the 5-county metro area added more than 50,000 people between July 2022 and July 2023. So that's a 2% increase, pretty healthy. And that brought the Austin area population to 2.47 million. So I'll bet you, you know, today as I'm speaking, we're roughly right around the Austin area is probably measuring about 2.5 million people. And that makes Austin the 26th largest metro in the United States. And before the pandemic, the Austin metro was the 33rd largest metro in the United States. Now, of course, Austin city limits, the city of Austin itself, it is the 10th largest city in America right now, according to the census numbers. And that's because largely we've just got a really big geographic area that Austin has. They did a good job of annexing a lot of land in the late 1990s to really expand the bounds of city limits. We just got a lot of property under our belt here. But to be sure, driving the majority of the metro's growth are the cities north of Austin and Williamson County. We're talking about Georgetown, Round Rock, Cedar Park, and the others. Nearly 67%, so that's one out of three people of the metro's total population increase, was attributed to positive net migration or people moving into the area, rather than that natural increase from births. And so that means an average of 91 people moved to the Austin metro each day during that 12-month period that was studied. So that's actually 91 people. That's down from 110 daily newcomers in 2014. About a third of the newcomers moved here from international locations, according to the census data. The rest of the transplants came from other areas of the United States, including other areas of Texas. If you look historically at the migration data that the Austin area has, I know a lot of people like to say, well, it's all Californians coming here. But honestly, it's more Texans that are coming here. So you look at places like Waco and Longview, in El Paso and, you know, Dallas and the others, that's where we're getting the bulk of our newcomers in the Austin area, is actually in other parts of Texas. But no, rest assured, though, there are still plenty of Californians coming out here. So our population growth is on the decline. We are still growing as a metro area and even as the city of Austin, which is actually counter to many cities out there, such as Baltimore, where you're seeing just fewer people living in some American cities. And that is a scary thing. If you're not growing, you're dying, a lot of people say, in terms of cities. But Williamson County, I want to really focus on that one, because that is kind of the star of our metro area in terms of population growth. And it's been that way for 40 years. But Williamson County, far and away, drives the metro's growth as usual, gaining in that year that was studied a total of almost 25,000 people. So in other words, for every 10 new residents in the metro, five were settling in the county just north of Austin, and that area has just been on a tear in terms of economic development in recent years. The huge new Samsung chip-making plant is that county's latest economic centerpiece. On the south side of the metro, things are looking pretty good there. Kyle, I'll give Kyle a big shout-out, because they've got an enormously strong growth rate coming out of the census figures. But southwest of Austin, Hays County has been experiencing big population gains, driven by factors such as Tesla, and people, again, wanted to move out to the suburbs. And Hays County actually, in many cases, will offer home buyers a little bit cheaper property than they can find even up in Williamson County. But Hays added more than 11,000 people in that year that was studied. So Hays took in about 23% of all the region's new residents that moved in here. And that bested Travis County's share of 15% of the metro's new resident. Bastrop County's population increased by about 4,400 for close to 9% of the growth. And then Caldwell County is accounting for about 4% of the growth, because they brought in about 2,000 people, newcomers, in this year that was studied. So overall, the Austin metro ranked seventh among U.S. metros in terms of population gains over that time. The Dallas and the Houston metros were number one and number two. The Dallas metro, which includes Fort Worth, they added about 152,000, over 152,000 people, bringing its total population. The DFW metroplex is now 8.1 million people. And the Houston metro added about 140,000 people, bringing its total population to 7.5 million. So Let's do a quick comparison there and kind of park on some of these numbers. So I mentioned that Austin had roughly 50,000 newcomers in that year. The DFW area, three times that with 153,000 roughly. And then Houston also almost three times of what Austin's adding on a raw number percent standpoint, 140,000 people, again, that Houston brought in. So as much as we like to talk about Austin and the Austin area just being a giant and growing fast, the fact of the matter is there are plenty of cities even within Texas that are adding more people than the Austin area on a daily basis. The San Antonio metro is an interesting one. Of course, that includes New Braunfels. San Antonio ranked ninth nationally, so it grew by about 48,000 residents over the one-year period that was studied. So San Antonio is hovering with a population of about 2.7 million. Remember, I just said that Austin's got about 2.5 million. So for all intents and purposes, those two metros are neck and neck, and it'll be really interesting to see in the coming years which of these two cities in the Austin-San Antonio metroplex that is budding, which one's going to be the dominant one? So for decades, you know, we've been talking about, well, Austin's probably, they've got the trajectory, you know, long-term, that they're going to outpace San Antonio. And maybe by the year 2040 or maybe 2050, Austin will be larger than San Antonio. But that's all based on historical data. And as Austin slows down a little bit, San Antonio, I think, is heating up a bit more than Austin. I've got no shortage of anecdotal data out there from people who talk about, I'm moving to San Antonio. The cost of living is pretty good down there. It's not a bad city to live in. So San Antonio is really coming into its own, even though it arguably came into its own before Austin did. It matured before Austin. You know, so we're going to have a bit of a horse race there in the coming decade or two in terms of Austin or San Antonio. Which one will be the fastest horse?
ATX Ahead, presented by Google Fiber Business, offering internet speeds up to 2 gigs, award-winning customer support, and the very latest in Wi-Fi. Plus, no annual contracts. Learn more about GFiber Business in Austin at fiber.google.com/business. Unlock MLS marks the intersection of knowledge, humanity, and home. For nearly 60 years, we've fostered the most complete, accurate, and timely housing market data for the 18-county Central Texas region. Find your next home at unlockmls.com. And by Cascadia Capital, the investment bank of choice for business leaders, providing trusted financial advisory services to entrepreneurs, family business owners, and financial sponsors for more than 20 years.
Remember the Alamo, but let's swing back around to Central Texas and continue the scrutiny of our own backyard. So let's go back. We started this podcast saying that of every 10 people who move to Austin, quote unquote, 8 out of 10 of them are moving to the suburbs. So one thing that I want to kind of focus on is what is that going to mean for downtown Austin? Because I'll be honest, after years of dramatic and towering additions to Austin skyline, things are looking a bit down for many developers and landlords of office high rises in particular. So consider this statistic we got recently from real estate firm Aquila Commercial. There are 10 already built towers downtown with at least 100,000 square feet of direct vacant office space just begging to be taken. And 3 of the biggest and newest blocks are completely empty despite being ready for tenants for many months. And on top of that, some huge new office towers are in the works and we'll be courting prospective tenants soon. There's no shortage of less expensive office space outside of downtown. Think of the Domain area, for instance. So, you know, we're really looking at what, you know, when we recently asked real estate experts, you know, what's in store for downtown, they use terms like ill-timed and long recovery. Basically, you know, all these skyscraper developers downtown, they brought the gains, but now a lot of them are feeling some pains. And so one interesting case is Google's Sail Tower on Lady Bird Lake. It's one of the most striking additions to the Austin skyline, so much that judges for the Austin Business Journal's annual Commercial Real Estate Awards contest in 2023, they named it the best new office building in all of Central Texas. But that designation and other accolades and the head turning that it gets, it's right there on Lady Bird Lake, looks like a sail. that really hasn't done it any favors, and it still stands empty today with no sign that it will be occupied soon, even though a certificate of occupancy was secured well over a year ago. When the lease was signed just before the pandemic, Google planned to move in during sometime last year in 2023. A Google spokesperson confirmed that in 2023, the company shared with employees, hey, we're not exactly sure when we're going to move into that new shiny tower that's been built for us. So hang tight. And I've spoken to plenty of Googlers in recent months. And yeah, they have no idea when they're going to get their new offices, but no timeline for the move-in has been provided to them or to us. And the internet giant, it employs about 2,000 people here, mostly in other buildings downtown. They still do not have plans to move into that big building, a representative said. So it was developed by Trammell Crow, and it has almost 800,000 square feet of office space, basically, now just sitting dark on the shores of Lady Bird Lake on Google's dime. You can bet your bottom dollar that Google is paying good money for that unused real estate. We're talking tens and tens and tens of millions of dollars annually. I guess the upside for Google, it's, you know, apparently a cost that can be stomached by a company that reported $74 billion in net income last year or so. Meta, which is Facebook's parent company, they're in a similar situation. In 2022, Meta leased all 589,000 square feet of office space in the 6 and Guadalupe Tower. And it's Austin's tallest tower right now. Less than a year later, the entirety of that space hit the sublease market. Now, it's been over a year, since that space hit the sublease market. And they're still looking. The company says, we spoke to a Meta spokesperson who confirmed that the company has begun sublease negotiation with some prospective tenants, though it's unclear how far along those negotiations are or how much space may be taken in that shiny new tower. The bottom half would be the office space, and then the top half is a bunch of nice, beautiful new condos. So at least the developers still have the top half to contend with. That can still be active. People can move in. But you got to wonder, how odd is it going to be that the bottom half of your building is totally dormant? So I don't know if that's a blessing or a curse for the residents who are moving in there. But one thing's clear, Meta really isn't looking back at the space. It's looking forward to a future shaped by the remote work revolution. They sent us a statement that basically said, hey, the future of work is here and we're embracing it. Obviously, for a lot of people, the pandemic was an eye-opener in terms of the remote work possibilities. And so Meta is listening to its employees and saying, okay, yeah, we don't need as much office space as we thought that we were going to a couple of years ago. So we've got the Google sale tower completely empty. We've got all the office space in 6 and Guadalupe Tower completely empty. And then over near the UT campus, there's another office tower that is brand spanking new, beautiful building, actually. Over there near the UT campus, the new Moody Center, actually, it's not far from that. There's something called Innovation Tower, and that's got about 324,000 square feet of office to fill. And the brokers over at Aquila are trying to fill that. Now, that's a case where, you know, unlike the two towers we just discussed, it's those tech giants who are really footing the bill for those towers right now. The developers of Innovation Tower are kind of on the hook, and the brokers are working on an extended timeline trying to get people over there. But it's near the Dell Medical School and Waterloo Park, one of the more happening pockets of downtown. So citywide, the office vacancy rate hit 18.7% in the fourth quarter of 2023. These numbers are according to Aquila. But in the Central Business District downtown, that rate was more like 22.2%. So, you know, you think, well, 18 to 22%, that's not a huge difference, but it is a big difference when we're talking about these kinds of numbers. The vacancy rate has been increasing steadily since the first quarter of 2023. Back then, in the first quarter of 2023, the vacancy rate in downtown is about 15%. So there is a lot to mind when it comes to downtown. I think the Downtown Austin Alliance and a lot of other experts would tell you that, hey, we still have a very vibrant downtown. Yes, it's got its growing pains, but for the most part, we're bullish on the future, I know that they would say. It's an interesting thing, too, because big picture, a lot of American cities, their downtowns were developed decades and maybe even, you know, over a century ago. and the trends were different. You know, you didn't have that work, live, play philosophy, perhaps, if your city came up in the 1970s or 80s. But, you know, a lot of downtown, I chance to say the bulk of the development down there now, has sprung up in the past 20 years, where we've embraced these modern philosophies of mixed use and having shops below, you know, multi-use towers, basically, where you might have part of it's a hotel, part of it's office space, part of it's condo units. And then on the ground floor, you've got some nice shops and restaurants and things like that. So there's a lot of cities that have to retrofit. Austin is, because we're young and new, relatively speaking, we don't have to retrofit. So hopefully we're getting it right the first time. But if history has proven anything, who knows what will transpire 100 years from now.
ATX Ahead, presented by the Austin Business Journal, exploring the future of Austin and the challenges we face. Brought to you by Google Fiber Business. Keep your customers and employees connected. By Unlock MLS. Find your next home at unlockmls.com. And by Cascadia Capital, the investment bank of choice for business leaders.